The second in the Birth, Love and Death series. This episode is about love. We hear David talk about falling in love, and I share a beautiful contribution from Josh about what love means to him. We hear from a whole bunch of people about what love means to them. And we've got a really special contribution from author Van Badham on 11 things I've learnt about love. In addition to all this beautiful talk about love, I'm really excited to share with you the release of Burnt Snow, which is the new book by Van Badham. Van is an award-winning playwright who originally hails from Wollongong. I recently met Van at the Brisbane Writers Festival and caught one of her sessions when she was talking to some school kids about writing. Van was really engaging and inspirational to listen to and one of the coolest chicks I've ever met. So to celebrate the release of Burnt Snow, I'll read you a little excerpt at the end of the episode. This is what it says on the back of the cover of Burnt Snow. These were the facts. I'd been in Urindi for 6 days. In that time, I'd met a boy. I didn't know who he was or why a shadow hung over him. But everywhere he went, there was trouble. When I ignored him, everything was fine. When I smiled at him, a girl had a violent seizure. That girl had tried to warn me. She had tried to frighten me into listening, but I'd let him breathe on my neck and brush against my hand, and glass had shattered. Sophie Morgan is a new girl at school. Brody Mean is the local loner with a dangerous reputation. The connection between them is intense, explosive. As darkness engulfs in Sophie's world, a fire is being lit within her. And when she and Brody are together, there's no predicting who will be burned. Sounds like a pretty cool book, huh? Anyway, so I hope you enjoy the episode about love and stick around to hear the reading from Burnt Snow at the end.
Love is the choice to accept a being unconditionally. Love is tenacity to believe for things which can only be seen with the heart. Love is appreciating the kindness and care of another. Love is trusting and being trustworthy. Love is a smile, a hug, a shiny kiss and kind words. My family is what I call love.
I had known Min for a short amount of time and then she went overseas. We then started on a long distance phone call relationship. After one particular phone call, my whole life changed. It was as if the walls of distance had come tumbling down and that it was a matter of life or death to me that I had to be with her and ask her to marry me. It felt like the only thing that was relevant in my life was to ask her the question, and if it didn't happen, I would explode. In 2 weeks, I had spoken to her father, got on a plane, taken her to the top of the Eiffel Tower, and asked her to marry me, and she said yes.
Things I have learned about love, by Van. 1. In the first instance, it is carnivorous. Watch out, once it bites, it will bite or munched up. 2. It matches none of your existing wardrobe. New shoes are therefore necessary. 3. It's both warm and covered in hair. 4. It does not need a comprehensive list of your former sexual partners. 5. It will steal the blankets. Cope with this. 6. It travels well, and even North Korea is a viable destination. 7. It's faster than a rocket ship, taller than a tree, wild as Savannah. 8. Ingmar Bergman gets it. So does Margaret Atwood. But Ayn Rand never did. The tragic girl. 9. It smells like honey and tea. 10. It makes sense of polka dots. 11. It was sitting on my balcony the entire time and turned out to like lounge music. Bonus.
my eyes are wide open.
When somebody asks another person if they're eating all their greens.
I woke to find my morning Red Bull in the fridge and a copy of the paper on the bench. And at that point, I just knew she was the one.
If love is the answer, what was the question?
People always think it's crazy that I'm still friends with my ex-boyfriends. But I can't understand it. Once you care for somebody, that doesn't stop when the romance is over.
Love.
Love is real, real is love.
I loved his bigness. He just filled my heart.
Love. Betray. Dishonest.
Beware of imitations.
Love, what a smile.
Love, I just melted.
Love brings happiness, but also sadness when you lost love.
The one thing we all live for, to give and receive.
Love is bold, spelt the wrong way round.
Love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. Without them, humanity cannot survive.
She delivered my mail for 3 years before I noticed she had a limp.
I can't remember because I'd been rowed.
The hooks of love are marked by extreme idiosyncrasy, apparently defying all logical causal laws.
I felt a bell chiming in my heart.
I cannot go out with such a crazy rock star.
When I looked at her, I knew she was the one.
I felt like sun has touched my skin for the first time.
What would I do without you?
Mum drove me to school, which I didn't want. Wouldn't have taken more than 20 minutes to walk, but Mum was convinced I'd have to be early to sort out the paperwork, and I didn't yet have the energy to fight her. When she'd parked in the school car park, Mum reached for her bag. "What are you doing?" I asked her. "Making sure your enrollment's in order." "Well, do they know I'm coming?" "Well, yes, of course." Mum had a lipstick in her hand and was adding a chocolate-coloured shine to her mouth in the rearview mirror. "Then I'm enrolled," I said. "And you can go." Mum smacked her lips. "Don't be silly. What if there's a problem?" "If there's a problem, I'm sure they're not going to kick me out on the street." I summoned as much positivity as I could, and I said, "I can do this alone. I'll be fine." Mum rustled for something in her handbag. "Mum, I really am fine. You get ready for work." And because I thought it would help, I leaned over and kissed her on the cheek, taking only a nanosecond longer to snatch my bag and tumble out of the car, slamming the door behind me. I was halfway to the front office when I heard a window roll down and Mum cry out, "I'll call you later." Smiling with victory, I waved at her only over my shoulder. I felt 10 kilos lighter as the car drove away, and I was convinced it was going to be a brilliant day. "This is Sophie. She's from Sydney," said the teacher in my first class at Yerindi High. The other kids could not have looked more bored if they tried. A woman from the front office who'd brought me to the classroom disappeared. And the colourless maths teacher, Mr. Garbing or Mr. Garden, ushered me into a seat and then left me on the outer horseshoe of tables. The class was only small and I was sitting next to no one. I looked to my right and I smiled politely at a girl with a pale blonde hair who smiled politely back. The teacher said, "Open to page 71. And everyone did. The day's brilliance dimmed. While everyone worked more or less silently, there were a couple of girls in the corner trying to have a written conversation with pens and margin notes. I stole some glances around the room. The girls in the corner could have been the same kind of girls I'd shared many classes with at Balkenham Hills, the restless girls, who were more interested in socks and pens than in the teacher and the blackboard. There were a couple of boys with blank faces and the obligatory shy girl, the pale blonde, and a nondescript girl who was muttering to herself while she wrote, and a guy with long hair who clearly wanted to be somewhere, or anywhere else. All wore the pale green shirts and the black pants or shorts of the Yerindi uniform in their own subcultural variations. The restless girls wore their tops and trousers really tight and their hair out. The shy girl and the muttering girl wore their shirts loose and their hair pinned back. Only the guy with the long hair showed even a flicker of interest in me. With his long black shorts and his band t-shirt, he looked like the most interesting person in the room, but a science maths class was not really the place to start up a conversation. I put my head down and got on with my work. Before the bell rang, the maths teacher asked what my next subject was. Modern history, I said, referring to a printout I'd been given in the office. Who's got modern? He asked the room, and the pale blonde girl put up her hand. Joni, will you take her to modern? Said the teacher, adding as the bell rang, enjoy your first day. With a silent pause, Sophie. As I walked out with Joni, I tried hard to make my voice sound friendly without being too friendly, but I struggled to find something to say. You from Sydney? She offered in a tiny voice. She was wispy thin. Yeah, I said. Must be exciting. More exciting than this place. I felt that the honest answer, no, just as boring, wouldn't add to an ailing conversation, so I just walked in silence. We passed boys in the corridor throwing their bags at one another, and girls spluttering with disapproval while pretending to ignore them. After a stint at a single-sex school, I realised that it would take a few days to remember how to share walkways with boys. I swung my school bag to my chest and held it with both arms, so an errant elbow wouldn't send me flying. Modern's better, said Joanne eventually. It's more interesting. She pushed open the classroom door. Again, there was a double horseshoe formation of tables. Again, there were a familiar gathering of subcultures seated around it. You go to enough schools and you learn to read the signs pretty well. A 30-something teacher in a salmon-coloured dress was stapling handouts together. Around her sat the goth girl, another two restless girls, a couple of nerd boys, a pretty girl sitting with a couple of adoring male fans, and a trio of girls so seriously that they instantly marked themselves as the high achievers, and a girl who looked just like Joni, whom Joni sat next to immediately. I hesitated in the doorway, unsure of where to sit. The teacher looked up from her handouts and smiled at me. She had brown hair and a warm face, and I could tell, I had no idea how, that she was pregnant. It struck me that that was a really weird thing to guess about someone. She stuck out her hand and said, "You must be Sophie Morgan. I'm Gail Dwight." I'd never had a teacher shake hands with me before, and I shook her hand limply, a little confused. "Mrs. Dwight in the classroom, of course," she said. "Take a seat." The spot she indicated was the same place I'd sat in for maths class on the far side of the outer horseshoe alone. I wondered if at Year Indy this was the area reserved for the new, the lost, or the terminally unpopular. Maybe it was my uniform, and once I got it sorted, I'd be able to sit somewhere else. In my mind, I started cataloguing what variation of the Year Indy uniform I would adopt. As handouts were passed along, I looked around the room and made a list of exclusions. The goth girl would never be me. The Joni look was not something I aspired to. I'd left the high achievers behind with Lauren and Sue, and my eyes wandered towards the restless girls. With their sparkling eyeshadow and frost-pink pouts, they looked like girls who knew how to make boys like them, who didn't care how their mothers wanted them to dress. Within me, envy burbled. The handout was on the Treaty of Versailles. The notes were clear and well laid out, and from what I could tell, Mrs. Dwight was a good teacher. I sat up in my chair and paid attention while she started to speak. Miss Dwight asked a couple of questions, but not of me. From glances she shot my way, I got the feeling she was trying to introduce me to her other students, helping me identify the smart from the not-so-smart, to get a measure of my place in the room. It was interesting to note that without paying as much attention as the high achievers, it was the goth girl, Ashley, who got every answer right. As she answered, I looked at her more closely. She was tiny, with pixie features, and her skin was milk white underneath her dyed black feathery hair. Her eyes were small but sparkled under black eyeliner. Compared to her lightning-fast answers, the high achievers looked wan and slow. Halfway through a question posed to the pretty girl about German coalfields, everyone's attention snapped to the classroom door, which was blown open. It seemed